Lecture 8, Expected Utility. Lotteries. When thinking about decision making, we often distinguish between actions and consequences. An action is chosen and leads to a consequence. The rational man has preferences over the set of consequences and is supposed to choose a feasible action that leads to the most desired consequence. In our discussion of the rational man, we have so far not distinguished between actions and consequences, since it was unnecessary for modeling situations where each action deterministically leads to a particular consequence. In this lecture, we will discuss a decision maker in an environment in which the correspondence between actions and consequences is not deterministic but stochastic. The choice of an action is viewed as choosing a lottery where the prizes are the consequences. We will be interested in preferences and choices of the set of lotteries. Let Z be a set of consequences, prices. In this lecture, we assume that Z is a finite set. A lottery is a probability measure on Z. That is, a lottery P is a function that assigns a non-negative number P of Z to each prize Z, where the sum of the P of Z is 1. The number P of Z is taken to be the objective probability of obtaining the prize Z given the lottery P. Denote by square bracket Z the degenerate lottery for which the probability of Z is equal to 1. We'll use the notation alpha X plus 1 minus alpha Y to denote the lottery in which the prize X is realized with probability alpha and the price Y with probability 1 minus alpha. Denote by L of Z, the infinite space containing all lotteries with prices in Z. Given the set of consequences Z, the space of lotteries L of Z can be identified with a simplex in Euclidean space, which is the set of all the vectors X, or all the functions from Z into R plus, such that the sum of the values is equal to 1. The extreme points of the simplex correspond to the degenerate lotteries, where one price is received in probability 1. We'll discuss preferences over the set L of Z. An implicit assumption in the above formalism is that the decision maker does not care about the nature of the random factors, but only about the distribution of consequences. To appreciate this point, consider a case in which the probability of rain is 1 half, and the set Z contains Z1 and Z2, where Z1 is having an umbrella and Z2 is not having an umbrella. A lottery in which you have Z1 if it is raining and Z2 if it's not should not be considered equivalent to the lottery in which you have Z1 if it is not raining and Z2 if it is. Thus, we have to be careful not to apply the model in context where the attitude toward the consequence depends on the event realized in each possible contingency. Preferences. Let us think about examples of sound preferences over the space LZ. Following are some examples. Preference for uniformity. Decision maker prefers the lottery that is less dispersed, where dispersion is measured by the sum of the squares of PZ minus 1 divided by the number of elements in Z. Preference for most likelihood. The decision maker prefers the lottery P to the lottery Q if the maximum of the PZ over Z is greater than the maximum of QZ over Z. The size of the support. The decision maker evaluates each lottery by the number of prizes that can be realized with positive probability, that is, by the size of the support of Q. He prefers P over Q if the size of the support of P is less equal to the size of the support of Q. These three examples are degenerate in the sense that the preferences ignore the consequences and were dependent on the probability vectors alone. In the following examples, the preferences involve evaluation of the prices as well. Example, increasing the probability of a good outcome. The set Z is partitioned into two disjoint sets, G and B, good and bad, and between two lotteries, the decision maker prefers the lottery that yields good prices with higher probability. The worst case, the decision maker evaluates lotteries by the worst possible case. He attaches a number V of Z to each prize Z and find P at least as good as Q if minimum of VZ over all the Z in the support of P is greater or equal than the V of Z over all the prices in the support of Q. This criterion is often used in computer science, where one algorithm is preferred to another one if it functions better in the worst case, independently of the likelihood of the worst case occurring. Comparing the most likely price, the decision maker considers the price in each lottery that is most likely, breaking ties in some arbitrary way, and compares two lotteries according to a basic preference relation over Z. Lexicographic preferences. The prices are ordered Z1 to Zk, and the lottery P is preferred to Q if the vector PZ1 PZk is greater or equal lexicographically than the vector QZ1 QZk. And finally, expected utility. A number V of Z is attached to each price, and the lottery P is evaluated according to its expected V, that is, according to sum of PZ VZ over all prices in the set Z. Thus, P is at least as good as Q if U of P, which is the expected utility of V, is greater equal of P according to V, namely sum of PZ VZ is greater equal than U of Q, expected utility of Q, namely the sum QZ VZ. Note that the above examples constitute ingredients that could be combined in various ways to form an even richer class of examples. For example, one preference can be employed as long as it is decisive, and the second preference can be used to break ties when it's not. The richness of examples calls for the classification of preference relations over lotteries and the study of properties that these relations satisfy. The methodology we follow is to formally state general principles, axioms, that may apply to preferences over the space of lotteries. Each axiom carries with it a consistency requirement or involves a procedural aspect of decision making. When a set of axioms characterizes a family of preferences, we'll consider the set of axioms as justification for focusing on that specific family. Von Neumann and Morgenstern axiomatization. The version of the von Neumann and Morgenstern axiomatization presented here uses two axioms, the independence and continuity. The independence axiom. In order to state the first axiom, we require an additional concept called compound lotteries. Given a k-tuple of lotteries, p1 to pk, upper index, 1 upper index k, and a k-tuple of non-negative numbers, alpha 1 to alpha k, the sum up to 1, define plus with a circle, k from 1 to k, alpha k pk, to be the lottery for which the probability assigned to the prize Z is the sum of alpha k times p of k at Z. Verify that this is indeed the lottery, namely all numbers are non-negative and sum up to 1. When only two lotteries, p1 and p2, are involved, we use the notation alpha 1 p1 plus with a circle 1 minus alpha 1 p2. We think of a plus circle alpha k pk, k from 1 to capital K, as a compound lottery with the following two stages. Stage 1, it is randomly determined which of the lotteries p1 to pk is realized. Alpha k is the probability that pk is realized. Stage 2, the prize received is randomly drawn from the lottery determined in stage 1. The random factors in the two stages are taken to be independent. When we compare two compound lotteries, alpha p plus circle 1 minus alpha r and alpha q plus circle 1 minus alpha r, we tend to simplify the comparison and form our preference on the basis of the comparison between p and q. This intuition is translated into the following axiom. Independence, I. For any p, q, and r in LZ, and any alpha between 0 and 1, p is preferred to q, even only if the lottery alpha p plus circle 1 minus alpha r is at least as good as alpha q plus circle 1 minus alpha r. The following property follows from I star. Let pk be a k-tuple of lotteries, let q k star be a particular lottery, and alpha k, k from 1 to k, an array of non-negative numbers such that alpha k star is strictly greater than 0 and the sum of alpha k equal to 1. Then the lottery, the compact lottery, alpha k pk, is at least as good as alpha k, the compact lottery alpha k qk, both cases k from 1 to capital K, when pk equal to qk for all k but k star, if and only if the lottery pk star is at least as good as the lottery qk star. To see it, note the following. Pk star is at least as good as qk star, if and only if, and now we have quite a long formula, the sum of alpha k pk, k goes from 1 to k, the compact lottery alpha k pk, can be written as a simple compact lottery alpha k pk star plus 1 minus alpha k star, a compact lottery which contains k minus 1 lotteries, pk, k different than k star, each of them with probability alpha k divided by 1 minus alpha k star. Now, this lottery is at least as good as the compact lottery alpha k qk, which is can be written as the simple compact lottery alpha k with probability alpha k star qk star, and with probability 1 minus alpha k star, the compact lottery of k minus 1 lotteries, pk, k different than q star, where pk gets the probability alpha k divided by 1 minus alpha k star. So we get that this simple compact lotteries, one is better than the other if and only if pk star is at least as good as qk star. This is by I, and thus we get what we wanted to show, that even if the number of compact lotteries in the compact lotteries is larger than k, replacing one lottery with one which is better is improving the compact lottery as well. The continuity axiom. Once again, we will employ a continuity assumption that is basically the same as the one we employed for the consumer model. Continuity means that the preferences are not overly sensitive to small changes in the probabilities. Continuity, C. If P is strictly better than Q, then there are neighborhoods, BP of P and BQ of Q, when presented as vectors in RZ plus, such that for all P prime in BP, and for all q prime in bq, p prime is strictly better than q star. Verify that the continuity assumption implies the following property, which sometimes is presented as an alternative definition of continuity. C star. If p is better than q, better than r, then there exists a number alpha between 0 and 1, such that q is indifferent to the compound lottery alpha p plus circle 1 minus alpha r. Let us check now whether some of the examples we discussed earlier satisfies the two axioms I and C. Expected utility. Note that the form function u of p is linear. That's because u of the compact lottery plus circle alpha k pk equal to the sum over all prices in the set Z of the lottery, the compound lottery plus alpha k pk at the point Z times VZ, which can be written as the sum over all Z of the sum over k from 1 to k alpha k pk Z times V of Z. Change the order of summation, we get the sum k from 1 to capital K alpha k inside summation over all prices z, pkz vz, which is equal to the sum alpha k of u of pk over all k from 1 to capital K. It follows that any such preference relation satisfies I, Since the function up is continuous in the probability vector, it also satisfies C. Increasing the probability of a good consequence. Such a preference relation satisfies the two axioms, since it can be represented by the expectation of V, where V is equal to 1 for Z in the set G and 0 in the set B. Preferences for most likelihood. This preference relation is continuous, as the function maximum of P1 Pk that represent it is continuous in probabilities. It does not satisfy I, since, for example, although the degenerate lottery Z1 is indifferent to the degenerate lottery Z2, but the lottery 1 half Z1 plus 1 half Z2 is strictly better. Sorry, 1 half Z1 plus 1 half Z1 is strictly better than 1 half Z1 plus 1 half Z2. Lexicographic preferences. Such a preference relation satisfies I, but not C. The worst case, the preference relation does not satisfy C. In the two-price case, where VZ1 is strictly greater than VZ2, then Z1, the certain lottery Z1, is strictly better than 1 half Z1 plus 1 half Z2. Viewed as points in R2, we can rewrite this as 1-0 strictly better than 1 half 1 half. Any neighborhood of 1-0 contains lotteries that are not strictly preferred to 1 half 1 half, and thus C is not satisfied. The preference relation also does not satisfy I. Z1 is strictly better than Z2. The degenerate lottery Z1 is strictly better than the degenerate lottery Z2, but 1 half Z1 plus 1 half Z2 is indifferent to Z2. Utility representation. By the Brecht theorem, we know that for any relation defined on the space of lotteries that satisfies continuity, there is a utility representation U from the set LZ into the reals, continuous in the probabilities, such that P is at least as good as Q, if and only if U of P greater or equal U of Q. We'll use the above axioms to isolate a family of preference relations that have a representation by a more structured utility function. Theorem for Nanon Morgenstern. Let preferences be a preference relation over LZ satisfying I and C. Large numbers, VZ, vector of numbers, VZ, Z in the set Z, such that P is at least as good as Q, if and only if U of P, which is the sum of PZ, VZ, greater equal of U of Q, which is the sum of QZ, VZ. Note the distinction between U of P, the utility number of the lottery P, and VZ, called the Bernoulli numbers or the VNM utilities. The function V is a utility function representing the preferences on Z and is the building block for the construction of U of P, a utility function representing the preferences on LZ. We often refer to V as a VNM utility function representing the preferences over LZ. For the proof of the theorem, we need the following lemma. Lemma. Let preferences be preference relation over LZ satisfying axiom I. Let X and Y be in Z such that the price X, the generated lottery X, is better than the generated lottery Y, and alpha greater than beta, then the compound lottery alpha X plus 1 minus alpha Y is strictly better than beta X plus 1 minus beta Y. Proof. If either alpha equal 1 or beta equal 0, the claim is implied by the independence. Otherwise, by the independence, the compound lottery alpha X plus 1 minus alpha Y is strictly better than Y. Using I, again, we get that alpha X plus 1 minus alpha Y is better than the compound lottery, which probability beta divided by alpha get the lottery alpha X plus 1 minus alpha Y, and with probability 1 minus beta divided by alpha get the degenerated price Y, which is equal exactly to the compound lottery beta X plus 1 minus beta Y. Proof of the theorem. Let M and M, capital M and small m, be a best and worst certain lotteries in LZ. Consider first the case that M in different minimum M. It follows from I star that P is a different M for any P, and thus P is a different to Q for all P and Q in LZ. Thus, any constant utility function represents the preferences. Choosing VZ equals 0 for all Z, we have that sum of PZ VZ equals 0 for all P in LZ. Now consider the case that capital M, the maximum, is strictly better than the minimum. By C star and dilemma, there is a single number VZ in 0, 1 such that the compound lottery VZ capital M plus 1 minus VZ small m indifferent to the compound, to the degenerated lottery Z. In particular, V of capital M is 1 and V of small m is 0. By I star, we obtain that P is indifferent to the compound lottery that gets with probability sigma PZ VZ capital M and with probability the residual small m. And by dilemma, P is better, at least as good as Q, if and only if sum of PZ VZ greater equal to the sum of QZ VZ. The uniqueness of VNM utilities. The VNM utilities are unique up to positive affine transformation, namely multiplication of a positive number and adding any scalar, and are not invariant to arbitrary monotonic transformation. Consider a preference relation defined over LZ and let VZ be the VNM utility representing the preference relation. Of course, defining WZ equal to alpha VZ plus beta for all Z, where alpha is strictly greater than 0 and beta arbitrary number, the utility function sum of PZ WZ also represents the preferences. Furthermore, assume that WP equals sigma PZ WC represents the preferences as well. We will show that W must be a positive affine transformation of V. To see this, let alpha greater than 0 and beta satisfying WM equal to alpha VM plus beta and WM small m equal to alpha VM plus beta. The existence of alpha greater than 0 and beta, which satisfy both equations, namely W capital M equal alpha V capital M plus beta and W small m equal to alpha V small m plus beta, is guaranteed by the fact that V capital M is strictly greater than V small m and W capital M is greater than W small m. For any Z and Z, there must be a number P such that the lottery, the degenerated lottery Z, is indifferent to the lottery P capital M plus 1 minus P small m. So it must be that WZ equal to PWM plus 1 minus PW small m equal to P alpha VM plus beta plus 1 minus P alpha V small m plus beta equal to alpha PVM plus 1 minus P V small m plus beta, which is equal to alpha VZ plus beta. Dutch book argument. There are those who consider expected utility maximization to be a normative principle. One of the arguments made to support this view is the following Dutch book argument. Assume that L1 is strictly better than L2, but that the lottery, compound lottery alpha L plus 1 minus alpha L2 is strictly better than the compound lottery alpha L plus 1 minus alpha L1. We can perform the following trick on the decision maker. Take the compound lottery alpha L plus 1 minus alpha L1. Actually, we can describe this as a contingency with random event E, which we both agree as probability 1 minus alpha. So it means that if E occurs, you get L1, if not L. Number 2, take instead the compound lottery alpha L plus 1 minus alpha L2. This lottery you prefer, and therefore you pay me something for that. Let us agree to replace L2 with L1 in case E occurs. Okay, and you pay me something for that. Now number 4, know that you hold now alpha L plus 1 minus alpha L1. And let us start from the beginning. A discussion of the plausibility of the VNM theory. Many experiments reveal systematic deviations from VNM assumptions. The most famous one is the Allais paradox. One version of it, from Kalman-Tversky 79, is the following. choose first between L1, the lottery which give you with probability 0.25 3,000 and with probability 0.750, and L2, the lottery which give you with probability 0.2 4,000 and with probability 0.80. Then choose between L3, the certainty of 3,000, and L4, with probability 0.8 4,000 and with probability 0.20. Note that L1 is the compound lottery of L3 and 0 with probabilities 0.25 and 0.75, and L2 is the compound lottery of L4 and 0 with the same probabilities. Axiom I requires that the preference between L1 and L2 be respectively the same as between L3 and L4. However, in experiments, a majority of people express the preferences L1 inferior to L2 and an even larger majority express the preferences of L3 over L4. This phenomenon persists even among graduate students in economics. Among about 228 graduate students at Princeton, Tel Aviv, and NYU, although they were asked to respond to the above two questions problems, two choice problems online, one after the other, 68% chose L2 and 78% chose L3. This means that at least 46% of the students violated property I. The Allais example demonstrates, again, the sensitivity of preference to the framing of the alternatives. When the lotteries L1 and L2 are represented as are above, most prefer L2 to L1. But if we represent L1 and L2 as the compound lotteries, namely L1, 0.25 L3 plus 0.750 and L2 0.25 L4 plus 0.750, most subjects prefer L1 to L2. Comment. In the proof of the VNM theorem, we have seen that the independence axioms implies that if one is indifferent between Z and Z prime, one is also indifferent between Z and any lottery with Z and Z prime as its prices. This is not plausible in cases in which one takes into account the fairness of the random process that selects the prices. For example, consider a parent in a situation where he has one gift and two children, M and Y. Guess why I chose these letters. His options are to choose a lottery LP that will award M, the gift with probability P, and Y with probability 1 minus P. The parent does not favor one child over the other. The VNM approach predicts that he will be indifferent among the lotteries that determine who receives the gift, while common sense tells us usually he will strictly prefer the lottery LF. Subjective expected utility definitis. In the above discussion, a lottery was a description of the probabilities with which each of the prices is obtained. In many contexts, an alternative induces an uncertain consequence that depends on certain events, though the probabilities of those events are not given. The attitude of the decision maker to an alternative will depend on his assessment of the likelihoods of those events. In this section, we will demonstrate the basic idea of eliciting probabilities from preferences. The major work in this area is Savage model. However, Savage acclimatization is quite complicated and we'll make do here with a very simple model due to the finetti that demonstrates an important component of the approach. In this model, the notion of a lottery is replaced by a notion of a bet. Think about someone betting on a race with K horses. Needless to say, the set of horses represents an exhaustive list of exclusive events. A bet is a vector, x1, xk, with the interpretation that if horse k wins, the decision maker receives xk dollars, xk be any real number. Let B be the set of all bets. Assume that the bettor has a preference relation on B. We'll consider three properties of the preference relation. Continuity, the standard continuity property we use on the Euclidean space. Weak monotonicity, if for all k, xk is strictly greater than yk, then x is strictly better than y. Additivity, if x is at least as good as y, then x plus z is at least as good as y plus z for all z. No, that this implies that if x is strictly better than y, then x plus z is strictly better than y plus z for all z. A possible interpretation of the additivity property is as follows. Assume that the wealth of the decision maker has two components. One of them, z, is independent of the choice between the different bets. The other depends on the bet he chooses, x or y. Additivity states that the attitude of the decision maker to the bets x and y is independent of z. Claim: a preference relation satisfies continuity, weak monotonicity, and additivity if and only if there is a probability vector pi 1 pi k such that x is at least as good as y, if and only if sum of pi k x k greater or equal the sum of pi k y k. Proof: actually, we have already proved this claim for k equal 2. See problem set 2, question 5. We'll prove it now for an arbitrary k using another technique. A preference relation represented by the sum of pi k x k obviously satisfies all the three axioms. In the other direction, assume that the preference satisfies the three properties. First, consider the two sets u, the set of all x, which are at least as good as 0, and d, the set of all x, which are strictly inferior to 0. Both are non-empty. By continuity, u is closed and d is open. Furthermore, both are convex. To see that u is convex, know that if x is at least as good as 0 and y is at least as good as 0, then by the additivity, x plus y is at least as good as y, at least as good as 0. Furthermore, by additivity, if x is at least as good as 0, then for all lambda, which is of the type m divided by 2 to the power n, we have that lambda x is weakly better than 0. And by continuity, lambda x is weakly better than 0 for all lambda. By the definition of a preference relation, the sets u and d provide the partition of Rk, that is u union d equal to Rk, and u intersection of d is empty. Now use the separation theorem to conclude that there exists a non-zero vector pi 1 pi k and the number c such that u is the set of all x's such that pi x greater equals c, and d is the set of all x's such that pi x is strictly less than c. By weak monotonicity, it is easy to see that c is equal to 0, pi is different than 0, and all probabilities are non-negative. Thus, with our loss of generality, we can assume that the sum of the probability, the numbers, the pi k equal to 1, and therefore we can give them the interpretation of probabilities. Now, x is at least as good as y, if and only if x minus y is at least as good as 0, if and only if pi times x minus y greater equals 0, if and only if pi x greater equal pi y.